Turn to Luke chapter 21. It's a little lengthy reading. We're going to go through 36, and then I'll have you sit down promptly, I promise. And if you can't stand, that's all right. Stand in your heart, I'm sure. Amen. Lord is gracious to us.
Amen.
Okay, we'd like to start with Luke chapter 21, starting with the 25th verse. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We can all honestly say that we're witnessing these things. The Bible is telling us to lift our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. 29. And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they shoot forth, they see and know, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's a promise. Now, the warning. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always. There's the exhortation of our Lord. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord Jesus, again, this is your word. We are grateful for it, O God. We pray truly, Lord, that you would break to us the bread of life. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to title this Watch and Pray. Although, in truth, I could also have entitled it Let Your Lights So Shine. Because the truth of it is, there is hardly a darker time that is coming upon the earth. The deception and everything that is going forth is growing incrementally. It's not getting better. It's getting crazier. It's getting worse. And there's a reason for it. It's a reason. The reason is, of course, is that the Lord is raising his hand upon the earth. He's certainly lifting it up from this nation. I've got some quotes that I'd like to read to you first to kind of set a foundation, and then we'd like to get into scripture. So if you bear with me. Amen. Brother Branham makes a statement in Power of Transformation. He says, speaking of the prayer requests that have come forth, your jobs will fail one of these days. Your health will fail. Even your life here on earth will fail. But then that won't fail. And if he is the center of all things, then let's keep our minds on the center post that has drawn us to this. Of course, he's talking about his word. And he's talking about his manifested word. And again, Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word shall not pass away. And so we really do have to keep our eyes on the post, on the main thing. Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, "Now we have great men all. America is going to be more condemned than any nation in the world at the day of the judgment because it had such great men in it, in its beings, in its walls, in its domain, because that there's been revival after revival sweep across this country. And yet people continually indulge right on in sin and unbelief, getting worse every day." And that's true, getting worse. Not more godly, more ungodly, more perverse in their outlook, in their dress, in what they do to themselves and how they mutilate themselves. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. You see, the church even itself cooling off and getting away from God, it's a pity. But what can we do about it? The Bible predicted these things would come, and it's going to be here. Okay? It's going to be here. It's foretold. Amen? Another place, Brother Branham saying this in Expectation in 1961. This is one Brother Don shared. So those of you who hadn't read it, this is very fitting, apropos. "Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed a privileged people tonight to be assembled together here in a free nation where we can worship God by our own dictates of our conscience. We are so glad for this and for an open door yet in our land, knowing that it won't be too long now until this opportunity, these opportunities will be taken away from us. And Lord, it'll be a great thing when it is, because then the love of God will be constrained, will constrain us till our hearts will come together." He's describing a gathering together, a forging of the bride of Jesus Christ when that happens. It's not a physical location. It's a spiritual meeting, you know, of where we're going to be gathered in Christ. Amen. That's right. Hearts beating as one. Exactly. "And now, because that we turned down as a nation," this is 61, Balmain Gilead, "because that we turned down as a nation, and I truly believe we made our fatal mistake in 56. Now remember, I've got it on record, and you remember, she'll never come back again. She's finished. That's right. We're gleaning, but it'll never come back again. There'll never be a great revival sweep this nation before judgment. She's coming to judgment. It's on its road right now. Most any time it will arrive. I do myself believe that before this great judgment strikes the nation, that the second coming of Jesus will take his church from the earth. I believe it." Now, when he's talking about revival, he's talking about Bible-based revival, that which is moved by the Spirit. He's not talking about some great multi-interdenominational power that might arise from everything that's going on right now. People out there might look at that and say, this is revival. That is not revival. That is just a coming together of the churches, that's just coming together of the World Council of Churches and that whole body of strength. But as far as a real spiritual move sweeping across this nation, that won't happen. But he did say we are in gleaning times. So don't miss that point. He didn't say that nobody would be saved going forward. There just wouldn't be a revival. Okay? Amen. Now we can see that. I was going to bring on something some other time, but I just want to insert this right now. When Brother Branham was going across the nation in the 1950s, and different evangelists were going across this nation, back and forth across this nation, there was another phenomena that was rising up in the 1950s here in the United States. You know what that was? Anybody want to tell me? Anybody guess what that was? Rock and roll. Rock and roll was having its birth It was catching the attention of the young people and so forth, and they're having all their dances and so forth and so on. And when the Lord was sending forth a revival coming forth in this nation and wooing this nation, Satan was interjecting this culture with rock and roll. And that was getting center stage. That was capturing people's attention. So much so that was getting beamed in the television sets, even more so than what the gospel was. It's amazing how, you know, everything Brother Branham said, that they're always twins, right? When there was Jesus came on the scene, there was Judas Iscariot, right? Judas there to counteract what it was that the Lord was doing. But we know this, that Judas was put on the scene because the Lord wanted Judas to be there. Okay? And God is sending forth, and he's opening up the seals in 1963 at the same time that the court cases were taking the Bible and taking prayer out of the schools at the same time. They were embracing science, so-called. Science minus God. They were embracing Charles Darwin's theory on evolution, that false, fake-based, these various things that they put in there, you go back and look at them, they were made up. See, we believe in the beginning God made. They want us to believe in the beginning nothing made, which takes the greater leap of faith. You know, and they say that ours isn't science-based. There's so many things that have come out. So many, many, many things. Again, proving that God is real. His word is real. And we can put our trust in it. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to have homeschooling. We can, here's a big word, inculcate. We can take the truths of God's word, and it could be the springboard from every subject that we teach, and everything ties together with the coherency that makes sense, and it's true science. It's observable, amen, and it's provable, and certainly ties together much more than what they call science, so called. But here's what happens. This is what they do when they take God out. If you want to turn, you can follow along. Turn to Proverbs 1:22. Okay, Proverbs 1:22. Turn you at my reproof. Back up, 22. How long will ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, verse 24, look at this. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Because you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. That describes perfectly our universities today, right? All these. And look at the fruit of what's going on. Eternal professional protesters whom they've brainwashed, making them into their own image, right? Without the knowledge of God, dismiss anything that is godly or anything that references acknowledges God. No wonder they're without wisdom. See? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you cast out God, you cast out wisdom. No wonder they don't know which way is up. No wonder they're confused in their morality, thinking they're doing right. And they're doing horrible things. Keep reading. Verse 26. This is the judgment. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Why? Simple. Because they have their eyes on the wrong thing. They don't have it on God. That's exactly right. Yes. You know, you want to turn to let's turn to Amos, if you would. Amos 5:18. Amos 5:18. He's describing Israel in a divided, impure worship. And it amounts to his lip service to the Lord. We want his fine points, right? But we don't want the whole counsel of the Lord. And they're being called to task. 5:18, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. For let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Here's the point. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Have ye borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chayun in your images, the star of your God which you made to yourselves? See, it was an impure worship. They were doing it, all these different feasts, with a divided heart. When they were offering up things to the Lord, they had images of Moloch right there in their tents. They had images in their hearts. It was an impure, it was a divided worship. And I wonder, two, how many of us are divided in our worship to the Lord, are letting other things get in the way of a pure devotion to the Lord. It wasn't acceptable to God when Israel did it, and it's not acceptable to God for any believer to do that. He says in 27, therefore I will cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. I am so glad that the Lord, when he calls, he equips. And that when he saves, he has a remedy. And that remedy is to cleanse to the utmost. He doesn't leave you half dirty. He cleanses you completely when you come and you surrender and you fully acknowledge your sin. He forgives totally. when you come and you apply the blood of Jesus Christ, the purification, the sanctification is complete. You stand before Him spotless. And in that way, you serve the Lord, and you serve Him acceptably. What the Lord, what He demands, He provides. You know, when Jesus says, "Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect," we've gone over this before. A number of those behind this pulpit have gone over it before. How is that possible? It's not possible. The only way it's possible is all through Jesus Christ. It shows that our only hope is in Christ. Only under the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and only Him working in our lives, proving His Word, forming His Word in us. Amen? Amen. You don't have to turn to it, but it's a very familiar scripture to us. Zechariah 14:6. It actually speaks of the revival of Israel. And yet, Brother Branham has referred to this scripture 176 times, a lot of times pointing to this day. It says, "And it shall come to pass that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall come, but shall be known to the Lord. Not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that in the evening time it shall be light." In the evening time it shall be light. When the Lord Jesus came, and He's with us present right now, okay? But when He was manifesting Himself in Brother Branham's ministry, He was shining forth His light. He was shining forth that people can actually believe that God's Word is true. Until that wave sheaf was waved before us, you might doubt whether God's Word was effective or not, or if the Word of God was still applicable. But when that ministry came on the scene, it was proving that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the Word of God is true, and that you can stake your whole soul on it, then there remains no more room for sin, no more room for unbelief. That was a light that was shining to the Gentiles. That was a light that was blazing forth, proving that Jesus Christ indeed was alive, and that He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same light that appeared to the Gentiles is going to be the same light that's going to go to the Jews. Amen? It was a prophetic ministry that came on the scene to the Gentiles, and it will be a prophetic ministry that'll come to Israel. Those two witnesses, they will stand. And again, what are they going to do? What are they going to preach? They're going to preach the same Jesus. It's not a different Jesus. It's going to be the same Jesus that we believe in. Amen? It says, "In the evening time there shall be light." So the light that is in the bride of Jesus Christ tonight, that light someday is going to be lifted off upon the earth. And that light then is going to come to Israel. Amen? And the Lord Jesus is going to reveal Himself to His own. Amen. Isaiah 61, again, you don't have to turn to it. It's a very common, very familiar verse. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen on thee." If you go back and you read the context, again, this is talking about Israel. It's talking about how Israel is going to be glorified with the light of God upon her. But before that light comes upon Israel, it's coming upon the bride of Jesus Christ. It is upon the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is upon us, and it's in us. And I believe with all my heart it's going to be put on display. Right now there's great darkness, and it's getting darker. But what is darkness anyway? It's absence of light. "But ye are the light of the world." As long as you are in the world, this world has got light, right? And the darker it is, the more your light is shining forth. When you walk around with your families, I'm sorry, you cannot hide that light under a bushel. People see there's something different about you. There's something different about your family, how you walk, how you conduct yourself, how you relate to each other. Your saltiness could not be more stark than in this day and age that we live in. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, wherever the Lord shows Himself is light. The Bible says that His name is near, His wondrous works declare. The Lord will, He does declare Himself in amongst us, and He'll do it more, I believe even more than what we see now. He's declaring Himself with us. Okay? Now, Satan's lie can be ever so strong and ever so intoxicating to those that dwell on this earth. And we see that lie growing and growing. We cannot believe that people can be taken away with the lies that are coming forth. And these are small lies compared to the lie that is coming in the man of sin. But everything that is happening right now, everything that is going on, you think that little stimulus check that everybody got and going to business and so forth, the extra $3 trillion that came out of thin air, you think that's a good thing in our economy? No. $26 trillion now the United States is in debt. That's just going to throw the train completely over the edge. But why is that? It's because the world's economy has to fail. Yeah. So that Superman rising up, and he's going to fix it for everybody, just everybody get in line. We have a solution for you. And all that dwell upon the earth shall believe that lie. But in the presence of the brilliance of the light of God, it is shown for what it is. A big, ugly, black lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 states, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now letteth, that hinders, will let," that's the Holy Ghost that's holding it back, "until he," the Holy Ghost that's in the bride, "is taken away." Okay? So, you are holding back the judgment of God. You are hindering the Antichrist from entering in and to reach to fullness of what he is set out to do. So the bride has got to be taken away. Verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth," that's his word, right? "The spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Where God's truth is always is light. His brightness is coming. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." See, you have to reject the truth first before you can believe the lie. You have to reject the truth first before you can believe the lie. "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness," pleasure in disbelief, pleasure in sin, pleasure in doing their own thing, they thought. "But," there's a but here, "we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning," not from the beginning of the day, not from the beginning of Paul's ministry when he started out, but from the foundation of the world, right? "He's chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." You've been chosen to believe. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's a tremendous thing. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Why was that? The gospel is the truth. The truth is a great net. Those who've got ears to hear the truth are drawn to it, and you come to it. He's called you by our gospel. You've been hailed by our gospel to obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So for those of us, for those of you who believe, it's a great thing, the coming of the Lord. The day of the Lord is good news. It is light. He's your covering. He is your shelter. When he says, seek me, you say, Lord, I will seek you, right? Amen. That he may make his presence known with you and in you. He wants to do that with all of us. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to reveal himself in us. That the light, that is his light, can be shown more perfectly through us in this dark day. Oh, we've been given such an opportunity, saints. We've been given such an opportunity. Our hope is in the Lord. And their hope that hear us is God's word. It's not in the United States. Okay? There's no hope there. There's a false gospel going forth. And there is no hope there. Okay? And sometimes it's hard to get caught up because of the lies that are perpetrated that you know are lies, but it doesn't matter. We seek a kingdom that comes without observation. And that is what we need to keep our eyes on, that kingdom that comes without observation. And that is what we need to witness to. That is what brings hope to your hearer. And only that can bring salvation to them. Amen. Amen. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Aren't you glad for that? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why is that? Because that's unbelief. When you complain, Brother Branham says, it weakens your faith. It's easy to fall into that trap. Easy to complain, but don't do it. Instead, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So let your light so shine. You are the only Christ that some people will ever see. Think about that. Or even hear about. I pray truly, truly, Lord Jesus, please increase our burden for lost souls, that we can sing, that we can get out, you know, the last one. Whoever that is, we don't know. And help us not to be judging the outward, not just the one that looks the part, but maybe that one that's all tattooed and all scarred with all kinds of metal go in and out of them. Who knows how the devil has twisted some of God's children that are out there. Let's not prejudge, but let the Lord, let the salt show shine in us. Lord, give us these burdens, I pray. Amen. Amen. And have no fear, for the Lord is with you. The Bible says he is a present help. Be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome the world back then when he was here in his corporal ministry. He still has overcome the world. And that's the thing always to remember. It says, fear not, but be bold in your relationship with Christ. For as such, you do not fear what men can do. Better yet, the stronger your faith in Christ, the closer in relationship to him, the less you fear man. It stands to reason, doesn't it? Perfect love casts out fear, right? The more of Christ you have in you, the more love you have in you. The more love you have in you, fear and love cannot coexist. The more love that Christ is pressing in you, the more that presses fear away from you. Amen? Amen? Fear is often fanned by imagination. Think about that. Fear exists in imagination. It is true. A problem or situation gets worse by the imagination. That is why God in His wisdom allows us to go through trials, sometimes incredibly hard trials. You're wondering, how in the world are we going to get through them? But don't fear, because God's hand is on you. He's with you. He would get you through it. He said that He would. Amen? Amen? He puts us through these trials to prove to us that there is nothing we need to fear. To prove that there's nothing to it. Amen? How do you get a child, just as an example, to not fear water? You keep them away from water as far as you can? No. You throw them in the water. You get them into it. You put them in. Okay, all right. You get them in. Put them first their toe, then their foot. You get them in. You get them immersed. You get them more exposed to water, right? And the more you get them exposed to it, they fear it less and less, until pretty soon it doesn't bother them at all. And see, this is why we need to have our senses exercised in God's Word by reason of use. Therefore, we can walk as mature believers in Christ, that regardless of whatever happens out there, we don't fear, because we've been there. Or someone else has been there. Amen? Maybe by their example we can get courage. They did it. I believe by God's grace, if you've got faith, step out. And as you step out, your faith, your experience grows. Amen? And you don't fear. Amen. The Lord wants us to be not afraid. How close do you want to get to Him? How close do you want to get to the Lord? Like the song says, He's as close as the mention of His name. Amen? Amen? Psalm 46, 1 states, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our refuge. He is our strength. So regardless of the trouble, it doesn't matter. He is our refuge and our strength. Saints, things might get, and I don't doubt, might get a whole lot tougher. But please look up and don't fear. God is present with us. And He said He would be there. And He is, the Bible says, a very present help. Not a late help, a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen? Amen. Psalm 27:5 states, and this is in closing, this is, of course, this is the text Brother Branham used to preach the rapture. It says, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. His tabernacle, that's where He dwells. And He habits His Word. Amen? And He habits His people. You know, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You are the temple of the Lord. It says, He shall set me upon a rock. What is that rock? The rock is a revelation. You could take that all the way through Scripture, even in the Old Testament, where it says their rocks is not as our rocks. Right? Their rocks, their revelations aren't as our revelations. Our revelations, He is a true and tried rock. He is a precious stone. They who put their trust in Him shall not make haste. You shall not worry. You shall not fear. You shall stand firm. You shall stand strong in Him. Amen? Stand strong, my brethren. Watch and pray. always. And let your light so shine. Amen. Let us all do that by God's grace. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, oh Lord, you are the architect of all things. You it is who have drawn up salvation, and you're the one who has plumbed it out and laid it all out. And you've caused men and women, Lord, to walk along that line, along the plumb line, ever since the time of Abraham, all the way through. You've laid it out with Christ in mind, as a everything foreshadowing Christ and everything fulfilled in Christ, and now everything fulfilled through Christ. So, Lord, please help us. Everything by you and for you, Lord. We look to you, Father, to fulfill your word in us. Help us, each one, Lord, as we do that, as we look to you, as we desire so much, Father, that you would do abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. For your glory, Lord, let your light shine in us, each one, in this dark, crooked, and perverse generation. Grant it, Father. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have a song? Is Believer Song? I'm going to grab the Only Believe song book here. I don't know if it's around here somewhere. Excuse me. Thank you. It's good to have a wife around. She helps in so many ways. This one here is Spanish, which Brother Derek had done well with this one. But not so much the rest of us, I'm afraid. Unless they're... So, amen. I'm so glad for that. Amen. Ah, the Lord. Be it unto me. That's a good word. Yeah, that's a chorus. Be it unto me. Amen. Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Upon my heart, the truth that sets me free, according to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Let's stand to our feet, can we? Be it unto me. Good. Amen. Amen. I'm so grateful to the Lord. I am so very, very grateful. Let's do number 6. God will make a way, and there shall be no way. And I'd like to turn it over to Brother Don, if I may. Amen. God will make a way when there seems to be no way.
Thank you, Brother Greg. Thank you for the word. We're just nothing like understanding who our God is and what He is. He's above all power. He's sovereign. He's over everything overall. And He loves to prove Himself to you.
Amen.
So and when He proves Himself, Psalm 27 that you were quoting, He set me upon a rock, right? He sets you upon a rock, that rock of revelation. Mm-hmm. And when that rock of revelation and He proves Himself to you, nobody's going to knock you off of that. It's just solid. We thank Him for His wonderful. He's just more beautiful and amazing mm-hmm. all the time, isn't He? Mm-hmm. Brother Philip, would you close in prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that You have given us to gather together, Lord. Lord, these are trying times that we don't know what may happen next, Lord. Who knows, maybe they'll start mandating that all gatherings of any kind be stopped. We don't know, Lord, but we're thankful for all Your power, Lord, that no matter what the devil tries to do, Lord, lights will shine, Lord. Lord, as we this end of the service here, Lord, that we would just continue to shine everywhere we go, Lord. May we not just stop and end here, Lord. May this just be our igniting point. Lord, I pray that You would just continue to be with us. Thank You for this service, Lord. And as we go forth, allow us to continue to praise You in all that happens, Lord, no matter the circumstances. Lord, I'll thank You for everything. All these things, we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Bless you.